Well, did you find it a little bit challenging to be spiritually, mentally engaged in some of the singing and scripture reading with some of these distractions around? When there are new and bright and fun things to look at, is it harder to be reverent and serious? And if it is, if you notice that even a little bit this morning, it's kind of a metaphor, isn't it, for our earthly lives. We've been talking on Sunday mornings about the eternal realms that the Bible talks about and how this world, this existence is real, but there is also a spiritual realm of light, a spiritual realm of darkness that are eternal, whereas this world that we live in is temporary. And just as we are trying to live for God, trying to live with eternity's values in view, trying to have eternal realm impact in our earthly life, it can be hard to maintain that focus when all around us there's the glitz and glamour and flashing lights and bright and fun and entertaining and amusing things that this world has to offer that can bombard and even overwhelm our senses and drown out that eternal realm. And so we come back to Scripture and we looked at seven foundational principles there, that there is a temporal realm and that there are eternal realms. I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look at just the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3. Not having a PowerPoint screen this morning, there is an outline on the back of your bulletin if you have one of those where you can follow the main points, maybe make a couple extra notes. But there is a temporal realm and there are eternal realms. In fact, here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul writes, "For by him," referring to Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." That Jesus is the creator, that when God created everything, he did it through Jesus. Jesus is the agent of creation for this physical temporal realm and also for the unseen eternal realms, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Foundational principle number two is that we have bodies that are of the temporal realm and spirits of one eternal realm. And so we're in that way, we are physical beings with spiritual components. It's not that we are divided. It's we are creatures with a unified soul and body. And yet the body is temporary. The soul is eternal. The internal realms, number three, include both realm of darkness and an eternal realm of light. And so number four, sin places us in and destines us to that eternal realm of darkness. It's what the Bible teaches. But salvation, number five, places us in and destines us to the eternal realm of light. If you're still open to Colossians chapter 1, look at the beautiful language in verses 12 and 13, where the Bible tells us that we can give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So if you've been saved, God took your soul and through Jesus transferred your soul from the eternal realm of darkness into the eternal realm of light, even though your body and your earthly existence stayed within this earthly realm. Your soul had that transplant, that transferal of citizenship that we praise God for when he passes a soul from darkness to light. So number six, the believer's earthly life then is a struggle between the earthly temporary realm that is heavily influenced by the eternal realm of darkness, Satan being the prince of the power of the air. We're struggling between our existence in this realm and our soul's eternal existence in the eternal realm of light. And what we find finally in terms of foundational truths here is number seven, that discerning between the earthly realm in which we currently live and the eternal realm of which our souls are currently a part and will forever be a part, discerning between these realms enables the believer to live for eternal impact, even despite earthly temptation and trial. So as we look in Colossians chapter 3 this morning, let's begin at looking at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And Paul is going to use these four verses really to turn our attention to that eternal realm of which our souls are a part if you have been redeemed, saved, forgiven through Jesus' work on the cross. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. A first principle this morning of three that we'll see in these verses is number one, to learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens. As we live our earthly existence, as we navigate our years of this life, however long or short they might be, God wants us to learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens. And we understand that by the way he says, seek. This is visual language, to look for things that are above, rather to have our vision obscured and dominated by things that are of this earth. He starts by saying, if ye then, and really it's a rhetorical if. He is increasing and continuing his argument from chapter 2. The idea we could read into it accurately from the original language is, since ye then, if you're saved, be risen with Christ. Are you risen with Christ? What does it mean to be risen with Christ? Do you feel risen with Christ this morning? Or are you still here on earth? Or is it some element of both? What Paul is getting at here is the biblical doctrine of the believer's spiritual union with Christ. Have you meditated on that idea much? Contemplated that? The idea that when you're saved, you have a spiritual union with Jesus Christ. His death on the cross became payment for your sin, and vicariously, you were made one with him through that vicarious payment, I should say. And so it's like 1 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new or are becoming new. We are changed. We are different. We are new because we are where? 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ. At salvation, we are baptized by the Spirit, not talking about water baptism, but the spiritual baptism of regeneration, the spiritual change that takes place in our lives at salvation baptizes us into Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 here and verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Your spiritual union with Christ means if you're saved, you are in Jesus Christ. But it also means that Jesus Christ is in you. And the Lord put these ideas both together when he was talking to the disciples in John 14 and verse 20, when he said at that day, referring to this new covenant church age in which the Spirit has come, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. If you're saved, Jesus is in you. You are in Jesus. You have this spiritual union as now a child of God in the Father's eyes. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Ephesians 1:3, Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Did you know that if you're a believer, you have already been blessed with heavenly blessings in heavenly places by virtue of your union with Christ, who is now in heaven? You enjoy heavenly, eternal realm blessings such as foreknowledge, election, and calling, and justification, and sanctification. These things that God is doing, has already done in your lives, these heavenly realm realities and blessings that we can have even while we're on earth, because though we're on earth, we are also in heaven by virtue of our spiritual union with Jesus Christ, who is now in heaven in that eternal realm of light. So what it means to start to look at life, to learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens, is now that I know we because this world is tangible, because we experience it with our senses, it seems to us we've been hoodwinked, hornswoggled, bamboozled into thinking that this world is the real one and the spiritual one is the one that, well, it's kind of real, it's not really real, it's intangible, it's kind of imaginary. The reality is that the eternal realm is far more real. I'm not suggesting that our existence here is not real, that you're not really here, you just think you are. No, we're really here. This life is real, but it is temporary. It's transient. And in that sense, the eternal realm, which is currently happening, it's not something off in the future that first we have the temporary one, then the eternal realm one comes. No, we are recognizing, we're learning to look at life through this lens with the knowledge that though we live on this real world, in this real life, that this is all temporary, that this is all the foreword, this is all the introduction, this is all the preface for what comes next. And in the meantime, this life has an impact on the eternal realm. That you can do things in the earthly temporary realm that have an immediate as well as an eternal impact upon the eternal heavenly realm of light. It depends on how you approach life, what your frame of view is, what your perspective, your worldview of this life that you live. Are you investing it in eternal realm values? And we can ask questions like this. If I am in Christ, okay, Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, so, okay, though I'm here on earth, though I'm here at Thompson Road Baptist Church this morning or watching from home online, I know that also if I'm saved, that in a real sense, I'm in heaven right now. Because I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in heaven at the Father's right hand. And when he rose from the grave, and after appearing to many eyewitnesses and ministering to them, ascended into the clouds and up beyond the clouds and through the heavens and over the highest heavens, and is now seated at the right hand of God in the eternal realm of light, that he brought me with him, that I'm risen with Christ, and so I can rise above the earthly temptations and trials and snares that are real, that I will experience, and yet I face them all differently. I face my work differently, my life differently, my resources differently. My speech, my attitude, my behavior is all viewed through an eternal realm lens. And so if I'm in Christ, if I'm at the Father's right hand, if I'm in heaven, what concerns me? What am I interested in? What am I looking for? What am I seeking if in a real sense I'm already there? Gene Roberts shared the devotional at men's prayer breakfast yesterday. I think Gene is turning 80, either today or this week. He said, at 80 years old, you've got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel, just ready to join. I don't know about that, but I do know that that is a good way to really keep in mind the vapor that life is. That each one of us, we're just here for a moment. We're just here for a moment. What matters more is our citizenship there. And we have this life to invest in that. So I'm asking questions like, how can I be used by God today to impact the heavenly kingdom? Where is there eternal value in my attitude and actions today? When he says in verse 1, seek those things which are above, that's what he's talking about. I'm looking for in my earthly life. I'm looking for those opportunities to have eternal realm impact in my earthly realm life. How can I glorify God in this trial I'm facing? That's a question we ask when we learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens. How can I be transformed to the image of Christ today during my devotion? Where is there eternal value in the pursuits that I am filling my time with? What earthly pursuits are entangling me to an unhealthy extent with things below? Paul said to Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Hey, if we're already risen there, we sure don't want to get bogged down here. if we're risen with Christ and our bodies just waiting to catch up our for glorification, our souls just waiting to catch up at our death or at his rapture of the church, then I'm not putting roots down here. I'm not getting entangled in the affairs of this life. I'm asking questions like, how can I encourage my fellow believer to stay faithful today in a way that will have meaningful impact in the eternal realm of light? How can God's heavenly love and truth shine through me? If the Father is in glory and Jesus at his right hand, resplendent and radiant with light, is there, and I am in him, and I see through his eyes now, and as he looks out through my eyes, I am learning to look at how his love and truth can flow through my demeanor, my countenance, my words, and my actions to show his love and truth to those who are currently enslaved in the eternal realm of darkness. If I live my life and I'm looking for ways to have an impact in eternal realm realities, it'll change my approach. Where is the eternal value in what I am doing? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek. It's a present participle verb there, and it's not fancy language to impress you. It just is to give this idea. It means keep seeking. This, you have to train your mind to do this. You have to actively do this, because what comes naturally is that we notice what we can do today for earthly realm temporary satisfaction. That comes naturally. What can I do today for instantaneous gratification? What can I do today that is going to get me really well set tomorrow? Okay, or if I'm really thinking long term, how can I act today in a way that is going to really set me up for retirement? That's so short-sighted. We have to look so far beyond that as we look for what we can do today that will have an impact on the eternal realm of light. If you have done any plowing or even lawn mowing, you know that if you want nice straight lines, which are important in those professions, that instead of looking straight down at what you're doing, you have to have your gaze fixed on a fixed object in the distance and look up and look toward that. Because if you're looking down into the immediate, your line will be crooked, your progress will be slow. But if your eyes are in the distant future, then your line will be straight and your work will be productive. When we learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens, we keep seeking. We keep seeking the things that are above. We train our spiritual eyes to see earthly opportunities as opportunities to invest in eternal realm realities. Number two, we learn to think of life by eternal realm truths. First, we learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens. Verse 2, we'll see that we need to think of life by eternal realm truths. Verse 2 says this: set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So we are learning to think of life by eternal realm truths. This is about our minds, about what is important to us here, about what is dwelt upon here. And the word affections, if that's what you're looking at here in verse 2, it has to do with our concerns, has to do with what we ponder, what we muse upon, what we value. In fact, it's often translated mind. When Paul says, be of one mind three times in the New Testament, each time he uses the same words that here is translated affection. Or in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, same word here. Or in Philippians 3, when he's warning against people who don't follow God, who don't live life for eternal impact, who are headed for destruction, listen to the language in Philippians 3:18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. What's most important to them is instantaneous gratification from this earthly realm, and whose glory is their shame. This is his last descriptor of them. They mind earthly things. I don't know, a characteristic of people who are headed for destruction, according to Philippians 3:18. Well, they mind earthly things. Same word mind that is here in Colossians 3:2 translated affections. They haven't, these type of people headed for destruction, haven't learned to think of life by eternal realm truths. Romans 8, 5 and 6, Paul says, they that are after the flesh do, same word, mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You notice the stark contrast there that Paul is painting there. You can set your mind, you can set your affection on things of this earth. And most people do, and most people will. And you don't even have to set out to do that. It just happens automatically. But as we learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens, then our mind will start to follow. As we're looking for these opportunities, we start to ponder these things. We start to value these things. We start to muse upon these things. What constitutes, what composes, what characterizes, what consumes your thinking? Is your mind, your affections consumed with earthly things? Paul tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. So we're asking that question, what is the eternal redeeming value in what I am doing? And then we adjust based on the answer. What's the eternal redeeming value at your workplace? Are you in a job that you can have some eternal redeeming value in your time there? And it might be that you can have an influence of evangelism there. It might be that you can have an influence of edification there in encouraging believers. It might be that you are learning skills there that transfer into kingdom work that you can use in church and other ministries. Or it might just be as simple as you are earning money there that you can be a responsible manager and steward of to invest into God's kingdom as you give to Him, as you support your family, and as you invest in the global spread of the gospel. But we're learning to look, and the harder it is to find eternal realm redeeming value in our work or in our hobbies or in our daily activities, the more prepared we need to be to adjust, to cut that out, to spend less time there and more time here. Because we can rationalize and find some eternal redeeming value in anything. Well, if I do this, it makes me happy. And when I'm happy, I'm less grumpy. And when I'm less grumpy, I'm nicer to people. And when I'm nicer to people, but let's be honest, as we look through an eternal realm lens and we learn to value things that have eternal realm impact in our minds. Do you mind earthly things? Entertainment and amusement, leisure shopping, social media scrolling, TV and movies and following our sports team and building up our garages and our patios and our gardens and our wardrobes and amassing the newest phones and computers and gadgets or outfits or hunting rifles or video games or fishing boats. It's not that these things are wrong, but are you looking at these things through an eternal realm lens? Are you thinking on these things according to earthly realm truths? We learn to set our affection on things above. Our mind is not consumed by things of this earth. Do you have a heavenly dream? Or do you have the American dream? Because the American dream, you know, we have to get rich, get bigger, get better, get well loved and known. It's so temporary. You're only American until you take your last breath, move away and renounce your citizenship, or get raptured. Then you're not American anymore. So the American dream has little or no redeeming eternal value to it, just in and of itself. Christians can't live according to the American dream. We have to have a heavenly dream that sees so much bigger, that thinks so much higher. And so we start to look at the areas in our lives where the eternal realm value conflicts with the earthly realm value. And I ask the question, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when I'm having to choose between the two realms? When here's this activity and it's juxtaposed with this activity, one will have eternal realm value, the other will have earthly realm value. Which one am I going to choose? It's a test to see if my eyes, if my mind are consumed, are enthralled, are amused to death by earthly things. For example, the game is on, but you haven't read your Bible yet. It's almost bedtime. One of those has eternal realm value significantly. The other has little or none. Might have some. You might find a way. Obviously, we need to eat. We need to sleep. We need downtime, amusement at times. But those things are to energize and help us in our earthly, in our eternal realm endeavors, aren't they? So they have to be kept in that perspective. Jesus in his earthly life slept when he needed to. He ate when he needed to. He performed manual labor when he needed to. And yet everything he did, yet all of that was to work toward his eternal realm purposes that he fully and completely completed, because everything he saw was not just people in their immediate earthly needs. Though he fed them, though he healed them, it was for an eternal realm purpose. He wanted to minister to their spiritual needs. He came so that people could have life and have it more abundantly, not in this realm, but in the next, in the current one that is above. When you have just enough money for that item you've been wanting, but you haven't given to the Lord, that's a conflict. What are you going to choose? When your career path, your opportunities, your promotion would advance your status or your career or your income, but would prevent you from being faithful in the earthly church gatherings of Christ's heavenly body, what are you going to choose? When your favorite TV show becomes evident that it's really feeding your flesh and deadening your spirit, but it's so enthralling and can't just stop mid-season, what are you going to do? What are you going to choose when you realize your friendship or your dating relationship is one that, though it might have earthly comfort and satisfaction to it, is not contributing and is in fact detracting from your eternal realm impact? What are you going to choose? What are you going to do when you see the heavenly value of telling others about Christ, but you fear the earthly consequence of possible embarrassment or rejection? What are you going to choose? And the way you respond in these situations and so many others that we face every day, if we really learn to look through the lens to see them, is going to reveal whether you are setting your affections on things above or on things of this earth. How many of you like pie? I like pie. But if you're in the business world or mathematics or you just come across these charts before, you know about a pie chart. Not as exciting as real pie, now that I got you thinking about that. But if your life, if what consumes your mind was on a pie chart, and let's imagine there's one shade of that pie chart that pictures your earthly realm pursuits, your earthly realm engagements, your earthly realm activities that have only immediate short-term benefit, if any. And there is another shade used to represent the time and resource and energy and mind and affection that you invest into that which has eternal realm benefit. What does your pie chart look like? Do you have a life that is dominated by the pursuit of earthly things? So easy to get there, unless we're learning to look at life through an eternal realm lens, learning to think about life according to eternal realm truths. And you think, well, I've got to make a living and I've got to have food to eat and clothes to wear. But didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? All these things will be added unto you. So we learn to look at life through an eternal realm lens, learn to think of life by eternal realm truths. And then finally, we learn to live life as our eternal realm existence. Once again, be careful to remember, it's not that we have this life and then the next. We can use that language and understand what it means if we do so cautiously. But really, we have this life that continues into the next. We have this life that currently impacts the next. That it's not really even a this and next scenario, because we're already risen with Christ. We're already with Him. We're already there. It's already real. It's already happening. And the time is slipping away where soon it will be only one. Right now we have a dual citizenship. We live on earth, but we're citizens of heaven. There's coming a time where it will be only one, but currently it's both. And so we live our life based on the understanding that we are living currently our eternal existence. We learn to live life by our eternal realm existence. This is what verse 3 says. Ready for this? For ye are dead. You're dead. Did you come this morning? Did you realize that you're risen with Christ? Verse 1. Have you thought about that recently? Or did you come this morning and realize, oh yeah, that's right, I'm dead. I don't remember dying. Well, it was 2,000 years ago on a little hill in Palestine where Jesus died on the cross. And because of salvation at that moment, when I became in Him, because He is an eternal being constantly inhabiting all of time and history, I was in that moment in His death on the cross, the moment I got saved. Paul puts it this way in chapter 2 and verse 20. Look up the page at chapter 2 and verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the elements of the world or the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why would you live by its earthly realm values if your earthly life is really already dead in Christ? Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So it's a scenario where we've already died and yet we live, and yet it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. And so I'm here, but it's really Him living through me. And He's there, but I'm really there living through Him. Romans 6, 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Are you a new creature? Have old things passed away? Has everything become new? Are you walking in newness of life? Or are you living by earthly realm standards? He's going to go on and say, well, you are dead and your life, verse 3 of Colossians 3, your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't it an encouragement that though in the earthly realm we have life insurance and we wear seatbelts and you've used a mask and other things, we have our lives hidden in Christ with God. That's why we don't fear any earthly threat. Because we're already there. We got the other foot on a banana peel, right? We're headed there. We're not trying to speed up the trip, but we know that we are risen with Him, we are dead, and so we're going to do what He says in verse 5. We'll skip ahead for a second. Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, sexual impurity, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Why would you be enamored by earthly things and earthly pleasures if your earthly you is dead in Christ? Put to death those desires. Seek things above instead. Okay, verse 4, when Christ, here's our last verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You died with Christ if you're saved. You're risen with Christ if you're saved. But you'll also appear with Christ in glory if you are saved. And everything Jesus does, we are part of. That's why you can have a priesthood of believers, because Jesus is our high priest and we're in Him. That's why we can be the temple of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is in God's presence and we are in Him. That's why we have an advocate of the Father, because Jesus is at the right Father's right hand and we are with Him and in Him. And so we mortify our members upon the earth, and we look forward to His appearing in glory, knowing that we will be with Him. Basketball players, especially young athletes that aspire to greatness in the field of basketball, they have a saying, ball is life. They'll put that on social media. Oh, I just practiced for 2 hours. Ball is life. Just spend an hour in the gym. Ball is life. Working on my jump shot. Ball is life. Or people will say things like, gardening is my life, or music is my life. We know what people mean by those things. It's not necessarily always a bad thing. But in a realer sense, in a higher sense, is Christ your life? That's what Paul says in verse 4. Christ, who is our life, is going to appear. And we will appear with Him. And so now we say with Paul, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the lens through which I'm looking at my earthly life. That's the mind by which I'm thinking about my earthly life. And that is the existence for which and in which I am living my earthly life. Have you ever been doing something really important and you're trying to concentrate on it, and then there's this loud noise, this cacophony, this distracting sound, and you wish that sound would go away because you have something really important to do. So you try to focus on your important task, but then here's this loud, obnoxious sound again, and slowly the work becomes more distant, the sound becomes greater, until through a few moments of a reoriented consciousness, you realize that's your alarm clock. And you are pulled away from whatever you were doing. And as you blink your eyes and turn off that alarm and think about the real things that you actually have to do that day, suddenly what seemed so important just moments ago seems so trivial. Wow, this really important thing I was doing, I was skinning a cactus. Like, why was I playing tennis against an ostrich? Like, that really, there was no value. That made no sense. That wasn't important, but it sure seemed so a moment ago until that sound brought us out of that illusion and showed us more important things to do. Well, that's an earthly realm example. But as we get involved in our earthly realm pursuits that seem so important right now, sometime in the not too distant future, there's going to be a deafening sound, a cacophony that wants to pull us away from that, that distracts us from that. And we're going to want to hang on until we realize that that is the trump of the Lord that sounds, and He is appearing in glory, and we will come to be with Him. And in that moment, will there be the realization of, why did that seem so important? Why did that consume my thinking? Why was this all I could think? Why did I put so much time and energy and resource into this part of life that stayed there? This earthly wealth that stayed there. This hobby, this sports accomplishment that just stayed there. We can hear the trumpet now, and we can start to put aside those things that don't have eternal value. And we can learn now, even in this earthly life, to look at it through an eternal realm lens, to think about it according to eternal realm truths, and to live it as our eternal realm existence. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Live for the eternal realm of light every day. Make the adjustments, whether it's taking that out of your life, cutting that back in your life, implementing these devotionals, these stewardships, these giving practices, these kindnesses, these ministries, so that every day you are living not just for things of this earth, but living for an eternal impact.